Bibles this afternoon and turn with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 5. Ephesians in chapter 5 and in verse 22, we read, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Last week we concluded looking at the husbands as the head of their wives, and the meaning of that, and what it is not, and what it is. It is in no way inferring that the wife is inferior to the husband. And all it has to do with is the position in which God has given to the marriage relationship, and that is that the husband is the one responsible. He's the one with authority to make the decisions in the marriage relationship. And we've emphasized the fact, and we'll probably do it even more to a greater degree as we get into the husband's responsibility, but that is as they are following their head, which is Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. This afternoon, we want to continue with the last of these three verses. Verse 24, "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." The church is to be her example. Church is to be an example to wives, and she is to follow the example in submission of the church submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is the head. And we've spent some time looking at that thought. Christ is the head of his church. Our verse says, Christ is the head of the church. Every local church. The word church in this verse is in an institutional sense. And he is the head of the church in an institutional sense as representing in all of his assemblies. All assemblies that are like unto the one he started. We won't cover that again this afternoon because we spent enough time on that just a couple months ago. But as we think about Christ being the head of his church, which is said to be his body, a fully developed body with head and all its members, and Christ is away, Christ is not here, we could say that the church, and believe we can back that up with Scripture, the church is his executive here on earth, or his manager here on earth. They are to be submitted to him and submission to him. They're following his leadership, following his directions. And we'll get on into that in just a moment. But he left her here to carry out his business. We've already given illustration concerning the wife and the relationship between the husband and the wife. And yes, the husband is one of authority, but he's not always there in the home. And who's gonna be the one in charge, so to speak, when he's gone? Well, it's the wife. She is the guide of the household. She is the manager of the household. She is his manager in charge, carrying out the desires of her head concerning the home. The church is carrying out here on earth the desires of her head, Christ, while he's gone. He's not here. And he's leading her. He's given her a manual go by, and he's given her marching orders, and she is to be following that. She is his executive here. Let's see how that fits out. Turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 16. The book of Matthew in chapter 16. Jesus, when he instituted his church, this is what he said to her in verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Peter, you're a stone. You're a pebble. And upon this rock, and I believe he pointed to himself, upon this rock, or maybe he didn't point to himself. Going back on the testimony that Peter gave concerning that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This rock, Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Pay attention to this verse. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. In other words, she's his manager. She's his executive here on earth, supposed to be carrying out, submitted to him, supposed to be carrying out his will, his leading. And so whatsoever she, the church, binds here on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Why? Because she's his executive. She's carrying out his authority. She's carrying out his commands. Turn with me to the 18th chapter, where Jesus says it again. The 18th chapter. Verse 18, speaking to his church, speaking to the 12, the apostles, he said this: Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So he said that here in regards, just following on the heels of it, if any man have a quarrel against another, and the procedures in which they're to handle it, and it to be brought before the church, and if he won't hear the church, then he's to be dealt with and cast out. And Jesus says here, on the heels of that, you're my executive. You're carrying out my will. And whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. How large an assembly! Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. A church where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We're just a few in number. We could be as low as two or three and still be a church that is authorized to carry out the work and business of the Lord Jesus Christ. Two or three. A church of the size of two or three members can still be his executive here on earth. So that is the illustration there. And that church is to be submitted to him. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, being submitted to Christ, the church receives their instructions from where? From the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, does Jesus Christ come down here and talk audibly with each of his churches? No, as we said earlier, he's left us this. He's left us this. We're to obey this. We're to go by this. We're to follow his leadership. I've said before, and I'll say it again. Anyone says that, well, we're just following the leadership of the Lord, and any church that says, well, we're just following the leadership of the Lord, but it's not according to thus saith the Lord, who are they following? They're not following the Lord. And yes, it is possible. That is possible. Because the church, this church is made up of men and women. We're human. And we can make mistakes. And sometimes it is hard to know whether it's my desire or whether it's of the Lord. That's why we need to be in the Word. And we need to be comparing Scripture with Scripture. Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes we make mistakes. And I believe wholeheartedly, and I've been part of assemblies that have made mistakes. You've heard me say, I'm a pastor. I'm not anything special other than God's man to lead and oversee this assembly for this time period. I'm not perfect. I'm going to make mistakes. I've made mistakes. And I'm going to make more mistakes. I sinned. And I have to confess my sin to the Lord. The same as you. Also. And when a church does something that is wrong, then that church ought to, if it has affected others, the church ought to correct that wrong. The church ought to, even if necessary, make apologies to people, individuals, that they may have wronged. So the church receives its instruction from the Lord. The church, and sometimes we do, and we're going to have a business meeting here just shortly, but we want the leadership of the Lord, and it's going to seem like maybe some of this stuff just weighing our options. The church doesn't really weigh all its options and then decide on what it considers to be the best one available. Here's the options we have. Here's what we're faced with. Let's consider which one would be the best for us. Are we following the leadership of the Lord? You see, the church decides what it will do, and hopefully based upon the Word of God. We have an illustration of the first church doing just that. Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. In chapter 1. And the apostles have gone to Jerusalem from the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're all gathered together, the apostles, the 11, and men, women, and children, numbering about 120. Verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. Need? Must we fulfill the scripture? Yes, we must fulfill the scripture. This scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost, by the mouth of David, spake before concerning Judas. They're well aware now who Judas was. Concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in the proper tongue, Akedama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishop let another take instructions from the word of God, what they should do after this place. Wherefore are these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us? That's the way the first 12 were chosen, put together as an apostle, beginning from the baptism of John. Coming even before the Lord Jesus Christ began his public ministry, beginning with the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, Jesus being taken up from them. So it must have continued with them, been a disciple all the time. Couldn't fallen away. This morning we read in the book of John chapter 6 and verses 66 how that most of the disciples went away and didn't follow him anymore after that. But these, there were some that still did, and this was a qualification for an apostle. And they appointed to Joseph Barsabas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen. So they nominated two, not to be a popularity contest, but they prayed to the Lord and they said, Lord, You show us which one of these two Thou hast chosen. Now, whether we have chosen them, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered 11 apostles. You say, well, that sounds like they left it up to chance. We'll draw straws. The short straw wins. They asked the Lord to show who it was. And then they drew lots. And the Lord showed in that manner who it was he wanted to take the place of Judas. It fell upon Matthias. Here we have a beautiful example of the church, the first church, in submission to the Lord and following His leadership according to the Word of God, which He had left them for their understanding. That's just one example. Our churches, the Lord's churches, His assembly, are to be in submission to Him. What happens when they get out of submission? Well, what's Revelation chapter 2 and 3 tell us about? He's left us more in the Word of God. When we depart from that which we know to do and practice. So, the churches today are to be in submission to the Lord. I've already alluded to the fact that sometimes we weigh our options, and sometimes we think we are doing right when in actuality we're doing wrong. I think I'm safe to say that as you look at a lot of churches today, and I'm not their judge, but I think we have a lot of churches that aren't really in submission to the Lord. I think there are a lot of churches, a lot of church members, and you understand, yeah, the members make up the church. And so as the people go following their own desires and their own whims and fancies, they're the church. And I think we have that happening more and more in the day and time in which we live. But wives are to be following a church that is in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ. A church that is in submission to the Lord Jesus Christ, is following His leading, submitting to His will, is a church that is blessed of the Lord. And that blessing doesn't necessarily equate itself in monetary. It doesn't necessarily equate itself in numbers. The best equation that we can put to it is spiritual growth, spiritual fruit, spiritual blessing. And of course that is outlined for us in the book of Matthew in chapter 6, where he tells us to be laying up treasures in heaven and not treasures on earth. Christ is the great protector and comforter of the church, of each one of His local New Testament churches. And so the loving husband is the protector and comforter of the wife. Our verse said that concerning Christ, and He's the Savior of the body. And He saved the body, and the fact that He gave His life for her in making her holy, bringing her to a holy state before God. But then He saves the body as a protection. You heard me say, and I've heard others say, that the Lord Jesus Christ saves us by His grace and His mercy, His love. But when we put our light in the candlestick in the church will save your life. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is the protector of His body. Of His body. And so husbands, the loving husband is to be the protector of his wife. And we'll get into that and deal with that. We get into the husbands responsibility to the wife. So he is the savior of the body. He is the to be the protector of the body. And I've heard some women make foolish comments. Well, I don't need a man to protect me. Well, the woman normally and constitutionally is the weaker sex. She's weaker in physical makeup. She doesn't possess the strength and stamina of a man. And I know our world is fighting with that today. They are all messed up in it today. We have men entering in women's sports because they think they're a woman. I think it's because they can't win in male sports, and they know they maybe can in women. I said maybe can in women's sports. Not only is she weaker physically, I think we see in the illustration of Adam and Eve that she is weaker in the mental and the succumbing to temptations of. I'm going to be careful with the word temptation, but she's easily more deceived, maybe, than others. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter. We have this admonition to the men, but I believe it's not only to the men, it's to the women as well, and it's following on the heels of what he said to the woman, wives. Wives were, he's addressing wives particularly who, whether they have a saved or unsaved husband, could be debated. But what she's supposed to be is to be this, whether he's saved or whether he's unsaved, but particularly as the unsaved, so that he might be won by her chaste and pure manner of life, behavior, her subjection that she renders to man, which other women don't render. Unsaved women don't render to their husbands. Then he says in verse 7, likewise. Talk about words and what they mean. What does that word likewise mean? Likewise, ye husbands. We could say, also you husbands, in the same way that the wife is to do what she is to do, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Dwell with them, first of all. How did Abraham, not Abraham, how did Adam say that back in Genesis chapter 2? They said, cleave unto his wife. That word cleave means stick to her. You're to dwell with her. But that's not the point. We may be coming back to this when we get to the man's responsibility. According to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Notice the next word. As unto the weaker vessel. Whether the man wants to recognize that the wife, the woman, is a weaker vessel or not? The Word of God says she is. She is a weaker vessel. And husbands, we're to give honor unto her. We're to respect her. We're to revere her as a weaker vessel. She needs us. She needs us to protect her, to look out for her, to care for her, to provide for her. Well, I guess we're getting into man's responsibilities. The point is, by constitution and build, is the weaker vessel. She has a weaker body. She has a body that is not fitted for the same task and strength that a man's body is built for. Generally speaking, I've seen some exceptions. I've seen some women that I wouldn't want to tangle with. I mean, even in my heyday, I wouldn't have wanted to tangle with some women because they'd have probably cleaned my clock, if you know what I'm talking about. But generally, overall, women are the weaker vessel. Now, just as verse 24 says, that the church is subject to Christ, and the church is to be subject unto Christ, and is subject to Christ in everything, that is, church, everything that we do as members of the Grace Baptist Church, this church, this assembly, is going to have to give an account to the Lord Jesus Christ for. Everything. That's what I said there in verse 24. And so let the wives be to their own husbands, subject to their own husbands. Just whether you agree with him or not, you like his decision or not?
No.
In everything. Why? Because he's the responsible one to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that has been set there by God, by the Lord Jesus Christ, as in that position, make those decisions, and he is going to have to answer not to you, but to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is his head. Does that help us? Now, next week, we're going to get into the husband's aspect of it. The husband, in a lot of ways, has a greater responsibility than does the wife. I have taken 5 messages, 5 weeks, and taught on wives being in submission to their own husbands. Because I've taken 5, if I don't take 5 weeks on the husband, the wives are going to say, well, you're not beating me just because you're a man. No, that wasn't intended. If you go back over the thoughts of the message, there's a lot of things that were brought in that weren't just pertaining to wives submitting to the husbands, such as the commandments of God, and obeying the commandments of God, and obeying the commandments of God being a delight. Wives submitting to husbands is a commandment of God, and it should be a delightful thing to you to obey the commandment of God, thus submit to your husbands, and all of that. We've touched on husbands to a degree or another. So if I only take 3 weeks, it doesn't mean because his responsibilities was any less than your responsibility. No, I think you'll see that he has a greater responsibility even than you wives do. So we'll close there today, and